From the WLRN Miami Herald newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett with the Latin America Report. President Obama's announcement last week that the U.S. is restoring diplomatic relations with Cuba and will open an embassy there this month is angering South Florida lawmakers. But their options to stop the administration are limited. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington on the battle over Cuba policy that's raging this summer.
South Florida lawmakers are reacting with stiff opposition and stinging rhetoric to overturning more than a half century of U.S.-Cuba policy. Freshman Republican Carlos Curbelo accuses the president of being motivated by personal politics.
And it's very clear that President Obama, for him, it's a personal goal to normalize relations with Cuba, no matter what.
Before the agreement was reached to open mutual embassies, Cuba was taken off the state sponsors of terrorism list, and that infuriated Cuban-American lawmakers. Veteran South Florida Republican Mario Diaz-Balart accuses the administration of caving to demands from the Castro regime while getting nothing in exchange.
Where are the requirements to allow for freedom of press or the legalization of political parties or independent labor unions? In other words, where are the requests for human rights, basic human rights, not just on lip service, but where are they as far as part of these negotiations?
Florida Republican Senator and presidential candidate Marco Rubio is vowing to block whoever the president picks to be ambassador to Cuba. Other lawmakers are vowing to block funding for embassy construction. But what else can the delegation do? Diaz-Balart is trying to tie the president's hands by including policy language inside spending bills. One amendment that passed out of committee, over objections from Democrats, bars U.S. exports to the island if Cuba military or intelligence officials are involved.
Which in essence just says the following. All right, let's not do business with the Cuban military and the Cuban intelligence services. That's it. That's what it does.
Diaz-Balart also led efforts in the House to try and block U.S. flights and cruise ships from stopping in Cuba. That too passed. He says this is all a part of his effort to help the Cuban people.
And I think you're going to see, as we've seen so far, very strong bipartisan support to keep that language, to make sure that the president, what the president's policy, does not have the effect that, frankly, it's so far having, which is to empower the actual regime, the brutality of that regime.
While Diaz-Balart is having success in the House, Arizona Republican Senator Jeff Flake says he thinks the upper chamber is a different story.
I'd be very surprised to see any of those go anywhere in the Senate.
Flake is a vocal supporter of normalizing relations with Cuba, and he's been lobbying his Republican colleagues one by one on the issue. It seems to be working. Kansas Republican Senator Pat Roberts recently traveled to Cuba with Flake, and he was won over to Flake's side. To Roberts, it's all about giving his farmers a new market.
Almost all of agriculture, of course, is interested in the potential for trade.
South Florida lawmakers were up in arms when the president relaxed restrictions on Cuban Americans traveling to Cuba. Flake says they wouldn't dare subject their constituents to a ban like that now, especially since most polls show the majority of Cuban Americans support Obama's engagement policy. And Flake predicts once the embassy opens and direct flights are allowed, the conversation in Washington will change.
And when all that happens, it's a lot of these things that we've been talking about here are moot because it's happening. People are traveling, things are changing. And if some of the measures to restrict some of this would be taking something away that people have, and people don't like that.
South Florida lawmakers like Congressman Curbelo believe it's a battle worth fighting.
All we're asking for is before we fully engage Cuba, the Cuban government and the American government do right by the citizens of the United States and by the people of Cuba. There will be a time and a day for engagement, but there are some very important goals that have to be reached before that day arrives.
On July 20th, the U.S. and Cuba will officially reestablish diplomatic ties. And that's the day Cuba plans to open its embassy in Washington over the protests of South Florida lawmakers. I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
And I'm Tim Padgett in Miami. You can read more of our Latin America coverage at WLRN.org.